There was nothing selfish about it. I was better off alone. They were better off without me. There was someone better for her. Someone that could appreciate her more. My kids didn't want me. That's what I was led to believe, and I believed it. I bought into a fantasy. It was a fantasy world, and it was an escape from reality to reality. I preferred to be intoxicated just to escape myself, and I didn't like myself. No matter how hard I tried, it wasn't good enough, and I wasn't okay with that. Even when people said I was too hard on myself and took life too seriously. When I went to the doctor, I couldn't even tell them what I was really dealing with. Who can you be honest with and be truthful with when everyone comes to you for answers? I knew that she was growing apart from me, and I had been growing apart from her for years, and she had no idea. I was devastated when I heard, and something snapped and broke within me that I never recovered from. She did not know. How could she have known how desperate I had become? I don't remember. I mean, do I remember? I don't want to remember. I don't remember. Everywhere I go, I see its face. It is what it is. Have you ever seen a man run from you just because you look at him a certain way? That's what was happening. It was bizarre. Was it my own blood? Was it my own blood? Was it my own blood? Hey, good evening, everyone. This is the Pillage Pastor. Welcome to another episode of the Pillage Pastor, where we're diving into this story. A pastor asks a demon for help to get a girl? What? That sounds so bizarre, so lame, and we're going there. So stay tuned. That's what's next. I break on a Sunday after church, after a great service, a great message. It was a great service. And it's one of those times you can look back and you're just like, that was a cool message. I felt great when I preached it. Great response. Felt comfortable. Loved these people. Loved this church. Many of them friends. My friends of now my family after 3 years of ministry in that particular location. And so no complaints. And yet everyone had left and she was there. And it was just so strong upon me. I figured if I could just confess, then it will all be over with, because number one, she either turns me in and says, hey, this pastor confessed his love for me. And this woman that I had hired 3 years before turns me in. It's all over. Or she just is like, I'm flattered and it is what it is. We're both married. Nothing can happen, which is the way it went down. I came in. I got a crush on you. It's pretty intense. I just need to confess this because it's burning me up inside. I got to get it off my chest. Maybe there will be some sort of relief. We're both married. Hey, flattered. Let's move on. Let's be good people. Let's love the Lord, whatever. 3 days later, things change. She comes back. She says, I feel like you're waiting for my response. My response is, I feel the same way as you do. I've been attracted to you. And then awesome. Then there was silence for a week. Nothing. But this little, the eyes, you know, the flirtation, that's just the way it goes down. And people need to know, I think people need to know this, especially like congregation. You need to be on the lookout and be aware of what happens. It can happen to anybody because ministry is lonely. It's lonely on top, right? Pastors are lonely. They're burned out. They're under spiritual attack. Like they're highs and lows constantly. You never know what's going to happen next. As it was with me, lost my dad, felt desperately alone. See people come and go out of the church. People intentionally hurt you in the church. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just sharing the reality of it. Next thing you know, like you're wanting somebody to look up to you and say, I like you and I believe in you. And that wasn't coming from the one I needed it to come from the most. And that's not their fault. It's just the way it is. Like it's seasonal, right? I mean, but that's how I felt. I just wasn't recognized. Instead, I was just a loser, a complainer. And maybe the way I'm being right now, right? Nonetheless, I needed somebody to see me as a hero. We all need somebody to see us as a hero. I found someone who saw me as a hero. Unfortunately, this was a paid person. I paid her to see me as a hero. Maybe that's the problem. Nonetheless, it felt good. I felt like a hero. I felt like a man. And all the shit hit the fan. So it felt good. It felt better than I had felt for so long. And I fell in love with a feeling. I fell in love with a fantasy. This sounds really strange, but like I love 80s music and I love all the like love ballads and whatnot from the 80s. And I was born in 77, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just a natural romantic, artistic, creative, imaginative, right? But she fit the mold. She was perfect to me. But I really believe, again, this is all in your head. It's all imaginative. It's trying to escape reality and the stress of reality, the complications of reality. And so you have to remember, like, there's two sides of you. There's, hey, this is me, this is reality, this is the value, this is what I value, this is what's real, this is what's important. And then there's this other side. You know, sometimes it happens when you're 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s. Eventually you just, there's other something else. Like you're willing to give up things that matter in order to satisfy a feeling, in order for something, just there to be peace, for there to be, I don't know, for you to win, I guess, to win again. And I was winning. The problem is, it's all deception, it's all false. And it's sad that it is, but it was wrong and it was false, it was a lie. And the enemy, again, Satan comes in, stages it all, and then is working you through it. He's like, yes, finally got a fish in the trap, right? Fish on the line, a fish in the net, right? And he's having a heyday with it. Next thing you know, I'm inspired in a way that I had not been inspired for years. Poetry, song, creativity, passion, just a zest for life. I come alive over this, a human relationship, over a human, over a false, something that's false, like a false picture of what could be. And that's at the sacrifice of everything that actually mattered to me. But it gets you, and it gets you for a season. And you know what? Sin is fun for a season, without a doubt. You lose sight of what matters. You lose sight of the big picture. You lose sight of, again, reality. And you go after something false. And somehow Satan just inspires you and he gets you all excited and all just amped. You have this creativity, this power flowing through you, this satanic energy, maybe, perhaps. I had felt it before, but when I had felt it before in my younger years, it was not satanically inspired, I give you that. It was me in all purity, and I was not trying to woo a woman that did not belong to me, that was married, that was taken, spoken for. Nonetheless, man, this whatever it was overtook me, and I believe it was demonically inspired. And I had something that I had not possessed before. I had a power that I had not had before. I had a zest for life I had not had before, which there's a lot psychologically that can go on there. But again, even if you're a psychologist or a psychiatrist or whatever, you might say, well, that's human nature. This is what was really going on. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean there's not a spiritual aspect to that. And a lot of people think that it's either one or the other. No, it's not demonically influenced. No, it's not spiritual. It's all physical. It's all psychological. It's all this. Well, what's in the mind is spiritual. That's what people forgot, is that, remember, the mind is like, it's not tangible. You can't hold the mind. You can't hold thought. It's spiritual. And we've trusted in people that say that it's separate, that it's not the same. And yet they have no evidence that it's not the same. It's all the same. It's not tangible. It's spiritual. The spirit, the soul, thoughts, emotions, will. Spiritual. You can't separate the two, man. So even if you are psychologically getting all jacked up, it doesn't mean there's not spiritual influence. It doesn't mean there's not demonic attack. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're not hearing, those voices that you're hearing are not the enemy. They're not spiritual. We are spiritual beings. We're created to touch that other reality. We were created for eternity, created in the image of the Father. And He is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And if you reach out to God and are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, there is another force, another reality, demonic inspiration that is right there to deter us from the things of God. Unwilling to accept the help that I believed God was bringing me. People that I knew He was putting in my path to share with. I didn't want to let go of this. It was mine. It was my pocket sin. It was my soul sin. It was mine, and nobody was going to touch her. She was mine. What a lie. She wasn't mine. I knew this full well. But nonetheless, I wanted her, and I was going to have her. God was not going to give her to me. And so what did I do? I needed something more, someone more. I needed the help of the man who sat at my desk on occasion, the man who I would run into when I went downstairs where files were kept, where the youth center was, where I had battled some influence down there time and time again with anointing oil and prayers twice a week, Sunday mornings bright and early, speaking out against. It was there, and it was very real, and it was very present, and I knew him. And he won. He won. This is the Pillage Pastor. Grace come down for such a sinner as I. Let's continue this in another conversation. Grace come down for such a sinner as you.